call it a comeback. I've been here for years, I'm rocking my peers, putting suckers in fear, making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the
beat. You're listening to Press Row on Chattanooga's sports leader, ESPN 105.1 The Zone, and ESPNChattanooga.com.
And welcome back into Press Row here in the Platinum Financial Funding Studios at ESPN 105.1 The Zone. I'm David Pascal along with Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show, hoping everybody out there is having a terrific, terrific Tuesday. It is a pleasure to bring in from ESPN, Ryan Rosillo. Ryan, how are you today?
Hey, I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing fine, thanks. I guess first and foremost, there have been so many changes at ESPN these past few weeks. You've obviously reportedly agreed to a multi-year deal. You know, sports teams go through trades and changes all the time, but what have the last few weeks been like at ESPN?
Well, I was pretty sure I wasn't going to get traded. So I could at least eliminate that out. I don't know what the trade market would have been, but I always felt like it was going to work out, and it really did. So, you know, I've been through it a couple times before, and you know, you can be a little freaked out because of the uncertainty and everything. But then with Scott moving on to something that could be great at night with SportsCenter, and Colin deciding to go to L.A., like, I knew that I wanted to stay, and I knew that they wanted me to. And once we get it worked out with Cannell, I was pumped. So, you know, it wasn't too stressful because I think everybody was kind of on the same page of what we wanted. So it wasn't a huge surprise when it all got done and got figured out.
I read on the internet, and of course everything you read is true, that you were born in Wyoming and you're a graduate of Vermont. Now, when you think of those two states, you think of like rodeos, fishing, whatever the case may be. When did you become a mainstream sports addict?
Well, you know, I remember the first team I ever kind of fell in love with, I was seven, and it was that 82-83 76ers team with Moses Malone, Andrew Toney, Mo Cheeks, Bobby Jones.
I mean,
yeah, right, exactly, and Dr. J, which was weird because, you know, at that point, being in New England, it was Celtics country, and my dad was an obsessive Celtics fan. He played college basketball for a little bit himself. So, you know, I remember just thinking that team was incredible. I mean, and what kid, you know, at that point, that impressionable, like Dr. J, you know, the guy's like a superhero. So that team rolled through everybody, and it was a little weird because then I was kind of still paying attention to the Sixers. I ended up loving Barkley and all that stuff. And then, you know, eventually my father was able to get me back on the right side of the tracks. But, you know, making sure I appreciated guys like Larry Bird. I remember having Little League baseball games where, you know, maybe 10, 11 years old and be all those Lakers-Celtics finals, and all the parents would be huddled around a car radio listening to that instead of watching their kids play Little League, which, to be honest with you, I don't really blame them for doing that. So, you know, that was just kind of the start of it where I'd keep track of weird stuff. You know, I'd simulate baseball games in the back and keep track of the stats. You know, it's kind of odd that you think back on it, but then it kind of makes a lot of sense of laying the foundation of being that in sports. And then when I started thinking about careers, I just thought I had to do something that I would enjoy every day. I'd want to get up and go to work, and that's how I feel, and I'm pretty happy about it.
All right, obviously, New England area, you've got a lot of sports teams you can adopt that have had a lot of success. Obviously, you're talking down here in SEC football country. Where does college football rank in your sports hierarchy of sports you love?
Well, for me, you know, I'm known as a huge NBA guy, but college game day, I know I traveled for the radio version of the television show for 6 years, and I started that in 2008, and that was my first taste of it, and I can't get enough. I'm not on the show anymore just because of my work schedule. It's just too much for 4 months, but I would put college football right there with the NBA, and some days I feel like I like college football even more. The funny thing is, when I worked in Boston, we never really talked about it, and you guys can keep your Boston College jokes yourself, but you know, it wasn't really an issue. I mean, we're talking Red Sox almost 90% of the time, and you do some Celtics, and even when the Patriots were rolling, when I was up there, we still were obsessed with the Red Sox offseason. So on Saturdays, college football was really more of an escape of, okay, I have to watch this versus I just really want to watch this. And then once I started traveling, and it's funny because, you know, growing up and having friends from the Northeast, going to college there, and then, you know, over the years, meeting some guys from the Big Ten, and I would meet up, we'd go to golf things together, weekends with guys, and I would just go, you guys have no idea what you're missing. You have no idea what we missed out on. And they would go, oh, you know, you guys are also biased. You know, the ESPN thing over and over again. So I said, fine, forget it. Come with me this year. So this past year, they came to Baton Rouge for Alabama LSU Saturday night. And within 10 minutes of watching the introduction to that game, they just looked at me and said, we want to apologize for years of being idiots and not understanding it. So I get accused a lot of, you know, I mean, I love Baton Rouge. I love LSU. I love that staff, and they're great to me. But unfortunately for the LSU faithful, I don't hate Alabama. I actually really respect Nick Saban. And, I mean, I've met the guy probably 20 times. I've been to Tuscaloosa a bunch. I think I've been to the last 8 LSU Bama games. So I absolutely love it. And I always kind of kid around that if I was ever fortunate enough to retire young, I would just pick an SEC campus, put on a hat, say I went there, and go to games every Saturday.
You're listening to Ryan Russillo of ESPN here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Ryan, thanks for taking the time. Are you prepared then to go toe to toe with Connell in a couple of weeks when y'all show starts up? Because, and I don't think he fairly gets this whole SEC. I think it's unfair that he gets this whole he hates the SEC thing, but that's kind of a role that you can admit it. He kind of likes that role, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, he has made a point of pointing out where he thinks there are inconsistencies. And I think sometimes it's true, but sometimes, and look, we've already done battle. So, I mean, this is just me revisiting the times he came in to visit. But, you know, I think it's just funny that people get mad about the SEC polls and then somehow say we're to blame. And it's like, right. Look, FPI is a formula on ESPN.com that means nothing other than a mathematical formula. And so it has one more SEC team in it, and it just means that we're to blame for everything. And this is the way it works. We know the least about college football of any sport before it starts, right? We just don't know. Like, we think we can read stuff and hear about this freshman who's awesome coming in and somebody's been killing it at practice, or there's an injury here and there's a lack of depth. But the turnover is so dramatic that we just don't know. So we go with brands, we go with schools that we give the benefit of the doubt, and guess what? We don't just do it with the SEC. So when Bama gets the preseason top 5 all the time, well, there's a reason they get it. It's because they kind of deserve it. That's where they usually end up, other than that year where they lost Auburn and Oklahoma. And then the 10-3 season where they blasted Michigan State in the Cap 1 Bowl. But for the most part, like, that's a safe bet. So when you're sitting there and you're trying to fill out your 25 teams, I challenge anybody to do it. Go ahead and just try to keep track of 25 teams you think are the top 25. You start to kind of run out. So, you know, look, Oregon's the preseason top 5 team with a completely unknown quarterback situation. And you know what? They deserve it because there's enough talent there. They'll probably figure it out with their quarterback because Helfrich is terrific. And in the past, when they've had to play backups in that system, the backups have been productive as well. But Oregon gets the benefit of the doubt. Florida State gets the benefit of the doubt. So other schools also get the benefit of the doubt. It's just that more teams throughout the last few years have had some peaks. You know, and people want to dump on the Mississippi schools. I just think it's unfair. Like, Mississippi State is pretty good, but, you know, they weren't great. But Ole Miss, you watch Ole Miss Auburn last year. Those are two really good football teams. And anybody that wants to just say Ole Miss is overrated watching them in that game, or they should have won it had Treadwell not had his leg broken at the goal line, then you're just lying to yourself. And I mean, Ole Miss beat Bama at home, but most teams can't say they do that. So I think the SEC bias thing is completely overblown because it's like, what did you want us to do? They won 7 titles in a row. We were talking about a conference that's dominant because they were dominant. Maybe it's shifting. But for the most part, I think a lot of the arguments are guys that are just yelling about stuff that if you really look into what the facts are, like, I don't show up to work every day trying to figure out a way to promote teams I think are bad.
In your new role, you're going to get some more TV time, especially this winter with an expanded role in the NBA thing. Do you see that kind of filling the void that Bill Simmons left? And is that cool, or is that something you want to try to put your own spin on?
Yeah, look, man, following up Bill, I mean, Bill is so much more than just an NBA guy. You know, I mean, it's hard to be as good as he is and then have ideas that you always seem to get right. I mean, that's the thing with Simmons. It felt like any time you go, hey, here's an idea, and then it works, and it works all the time. So, you know, it's funny because you get to a certain point, I think people, you know, look, I mean, it's just the way it works. People want to knock you and say all these things, but and there are plenty of people with huge profiles making a lot of money that have bad ideas that continue to get paid. And Bill's one of the guys that continues to have great ideas and, you know, deserves everything he can make. And for me, I mean, look, I know this year with the TV stuff it is a big improvement on kind of where I've been and kind of, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. I don't have the Simmons type views here yet. So it's not going to be a role where all of a sudden I'm just trying to fill in for whatever he did or, you know, fill that void now. But I am going to have more TV and hopefully start doing some more stuff that I want to do with the NBA.
You're listening to Ryan Russillo here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Ryan, I guess in the last few hours, a lot of talk about Eli Manning wanting to be the highest paid in the game. And one of the reasons in his favor is his ability so far to deal with the New York media. Considering your time in the Northeast Has there been a disagreeable athlete that you just never messed with when you dealt with him, covered him, whatever the case may be?
Well, see, the thing for me, and I give the beat guys a lot of credit, like, they have to be there every day, right?
I mean, right.
Baseball guys, that is a grind. And you've got to figure out a way to work with 25 guys you're going to see every day for 6 or 7 months. So I have it easy, man. I mean, I covered minor league baseball team, and I did the announcing for them, so it wasn't like I was sitting there writing game stories all the time. So I'm glad I had that experience to try to, you know, I just understood sports a lot better after just that 1 year and interacting with athletes and realizing that athletes can't be as emotional or as passionate as we are as fans because they burn out all the time. It's funny because there's this disconnect as a fan. You want every player that's your favorite on our team, you want them to be just devastated anytime they face failure. You know, the reason why they're successful is that they're not devastated and they're ready for the next day. So when you talk about covering athletes, like, I'm still kind of in this spot where I get to talk about all these things, but I'm not around them a ton. So to say, okay, this is one guy I covered that I just had a difficult time with. I mean, there are guys we've had on the show where it hasn't been great, but, you know, the thing with Scott and I, Van Pelt, in the past, and I always kind of said this, is we'd have these guys come up, say, before the draft, or a guy who's doing a car wash, and they get done, and you go, oh, man, that guy was really great. And I go, you know how like, dumb you have to be to screw up 7 or 8 minutes? Like, to make us go, man, I really didn't like that guy after 7 or 8 minutes with him. Like, you have to really try. And, you know, honestly, it's kind of funny that Teal was one of the guys that we had come by, didn't want to talk to any of us, asked me to turn up the TV that he was on so he could watch himself, and we were trying to get ready to do the interview, and then finally had to turn off the audio as we're coming back from commercial, and I was like, hey, can you sit down? We're about to start the interview. And he acted as if we weren't even in the room, and his only concern was listening to himself from a SportsCenter hit that he had just taped that was airing at the same time he's in there. And you go, okay, well, T.O. was able to pull it off. Like, T.O. actually pulled off in 7 minutes. You go, all right, I'm good. Like, next time around, we don't need him. You know, like, RG3 is a player that is making all sorts of headlines, I think for the wrong reasons, at least the last couple of days, saying he's the best quarterback. I understand what he's trying to do, but he hasn't been good. But on the flip side is that sometimes you feel guilty being super critical of him because he's been so incredibly nice to me. And I was down at Baylor and then Texas for the kickoff, Dallas, Texas, the next day for the kickoff of the college football season. After Baylor won that kind of statement, here we are, game on a Friday night, and he goes on to win the Heisman. And I've seen him at events where he goes out of his way to say hi to me. So I appreciate that, but at the same time, like, a hug and a pound isn't going to make me then say, you know what, RG3 makes a great point, because I think he's delusional by saying that. So it's different for me because they kind of come to us, and I realize how lucky I am for that, because if it's the other way around, it's a much more challenging job.
Nice local tie-in on the T.O., considering he played college ball here at UTC. Ryan, when we have a guest like you on, we like to close with a rapid-fire first thing off the top of the head. You ready to go?
Yeah. You know what? I love that you guys are doing this. We used to do this when I was back in Boston like 10, 12 years ago, and I actually want to start doing it again. So if I do it, try not to take it as an insult that it ripped you off.
Gotcha. But, gotcha. Yeah, well, we do Rushmores all the time as well. We've been doing those for about 3 years as well. Those are popular as well. All right. The SEC venue that you haven't been to that would be next on your bucket list.
Oh, man. I've been to, I think, 8 of them so far. Let me think. This is crazy. I don't want to say Vanderbilt just because of Nashville, because that's not fair. You know what? Give me South Carolina. I've been to South Carolina yet.
Okay.
All right. You said you fell in love with the early 80s 76ers. Did you ever try to pull off the Dr. J fro?
You know, I never did because I didn't think it would look good. But right now, with a challenging hair situation, I would take it.
Absolutely.
I would go for it tomorrow if you tell me it would work.
All right. The over-under on the Ohio State Buckeyes for the regular season is 11.5. Which way are you going?
Man, that schedule is so easy. it is. You know, I don't want to be that guy, but I think you got to go over it because you figure they're at least a 50-50 bet to play in the title game, and if you figure they're going to play 14 games, you know, they're going to play in a bowl game. But, you know, it's tough to repeat. It's tough to get. Look, at the pro level, it's tough to repeat. I think even more so it could be challenging with kids who just expect to be there again. But that schedule's toast. I mean, it's just cake.
The last couple 3 weeks, there's been a little back and forth. LeBron in his prime, Jordan in his prime, one-on-one, who you got?
You know, I actually think LeBron.
I do, too.
Because, you know, he's just so big, and he's as quick as Jordan was. And, you know, in their prime, LeBron's a better shooter.
which $4 million coach is going to finish last in the SEC West?
That is brutal. It's unbelievable. But you know what? That's just the arms race that's going on there. It's so hard because it's not Arkansas. I think it might be A&M.
If one guy, one sports guy through history you could have on your show today, who is it? Alive or dead?
Alive or dead? I think I'd like to talk to Wilt. I talked to Russell twice. Unfortunate because he didn't do many interviews, but I think I'd like to. You know what? I'd love to get a guy like Jack Johnson. I'm a big boxing historian. I love reading about boxing. I love reading about all the heavyweights. And I just I'm getting through his book now, and that is an incredible character. The stuff that he dealt with at the turn of the century. I mean, reading this stuff is kind of horrifying. But you know, he wasn't afraid to talk and be himself, and that's a tribute to a guy that you know, we talk about what's accepted today, the idea that he would live his life the way he did at the turn of the century, you know, 1800s to early 1900s. That's a brave man that kind of stood up for himself.
All right, Ryan Russillo, you can hear me each early afternoon here at ESPN 105.1 The Zone. He'll be joined here in a couple of weeks by Danny Cannell. Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time. Congratulations on your new deal, and we appreciate you visiting us with us here on Press Row here in Chattanooga.
Hey, really appreciate you guys having the interest and having the show. You let us know when you want, all right?
That sounds great. Ryan, thank you so much. All right, we'll open up the Hardee's Hotline. 648-1051 is the number. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here in the Platinum Financial Funding Studios at ESPN 105.1 The Zone.